Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Preds assistant coach Darby Hendrickson with us at 7:30. The Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 8 o'clock. So all that ahead here on the program. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, Tennessee and Alabama coming up this weekend, the third Saturday in October. It is in Tuscaloosa. It is a matchup of 2-5-1 teams, number 11 Tennessee, number 6 Alabama. And this line opened with Alabama as a 9.5-point favorite against the Vols. At one point yesterday, it got down to 7.5. And now it rests at 8.5. So Alabama, an 8.5-point favorite against Tennessee coming up this weekend at home. It's a team in Alabama that is playing really well after their week one loss to Florida State. Ty Simpson is on the short list of quarterbacks that are playing the best in the country right now. He's playing really well. They've got two really, really good receivers in Alabama. We'll see what the status of Jam Miller looks like in their running game. He is questionable for this week. And I know a lot of Tennessee fans were hoping that this would be the game that Jermaine McCoy is back out there on defense, and it is not going to be the game. He is out this week, which really starts to call into question, like, is he coming back at any point this year? So, no Jermaine McCoy. Obviously, we know Ricky Gibson is out as well for Tennessee. And, Edwin Spillman going to be out the first half, got a targeting penalty last week against Arkansas. So Spillman will not be in there for the first half of the game against Alabama. So, Joe, as we sit here today looking ahead to this matchup, if you're Tennessee, how are you feeling heading into this one? And what sort of a chance do you give the Vols to head down to Tuscaloosa and pull off the upset and get a win?
I definitely give them a chance. They're going to have to play at an extremely high level offensively. I don't have much doubt that they can move the ball on Alabama's defense. You're going to have to, the red zone trips, you need those to be touchdowns. You need to not turn it over. But as much confidence as I have in Tennessee's offense, I also question Tennessee. I mean, it feels a little bit, even though it's a totally different type of game and all that, but it feels a little bit like the Vanderbilt trip there, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if your offense can have a near perfect game or close to it, then you can pull it off. Now, that game actually didn't really turn out to be like the total shootout track meet type thing. Both defenses had more success than I kind of anticipated, but Tennessee's defense should not be this bad. And that's the thing. Sometimes a defense has these numbers and struggles, and they're just whatever it is. They're terrible in the secondary. They have no pass rush. It doesn't make sense at all to me that they're run on the way they are.
Yeah.
They should not be run on the way they are. But that's what's happening. How much of last week, I do think that Taylen Green stretches a defense with what he can do, and so – sometimes that helps. It's kind of like Derrick Henry. You go to Baltimore, and when Lamar Jackson's playing, it's like it makes him that much more difficult to deal with because you have to worry horizontally about all the other stuff. But Tennessee's defense, one thing they have done, they have forced turnovers, and they've had big sacks. And Ty Simpson is a guy who sometimes, looks like a young quarterback in the pocket and takes some sacks he shouldn't do. And I think that's a big key. Can you turn them over once or twice and get to him and blow some drives up that way?
Well, they have the most sacks per game in the SEC, so they do a good job at getting after the quarterback. As you mentioned, they turn the ball over. Last week, for the majority of the game, they were pretty bad defensively against Arkansas, and then all of a sudden they would make a huge play. They'd force a turnover. Arkansas is driving the ball, and then Tennessee punches it out. That's what they did last week. So can you make a living that way defensively? I don't know.
Yeah.
Alabama's been really good at taking care of the football. That's the other thing in this too. So if that continues, Tennessee's defense, at this point, end of the season, I kind of think you are what you are on both sides of the ball. Tennessee's defense is not as good as it was last year. which is amazing because, like, they're really good at forcing turnovers and they're really good at sacking the quarterback. But, like, the in-between stuff, they just cannot stop the run and they get thrown on. I think their pass defense right now is, like, 120th in FBS. Like, it's not very good. So, defensively, this is not a good matchup for Tennessee. Like, Alabama is probably going to move the ball. I'm not going to say at will, but they're going to move the ball in this game. So,
they will definitely move the ball between the 20s.
Yes. So, on the flip side, is Tennessee's offense, which is the number one scoring offense in America right now, can it get into the high 30s against Alabama, which is what it may take in this game? Like, can you go on the road to Tuscaloosa in a place where you have not won a game since Casey Clawson was the starting quarterback in 2003 in a 5-overtime game that was 51-43? I was 11 years old. That was the last time Tennessee won a game in Alabama. Can your offense go on the road with Joey Aguilar, that receiving core, and hang up enough points to win this game? Like, can you get into mid to high 30s? Like, I think that's probably what it's going to take if you're going to win this game, if you're Tennessee.
And I would say, yes, I think that they can, but you just have to execute at an extremely high level, not turn it over. Finish those drives of touchdowns. I mean, you know, the red zone, I think it'll be definitely a big red zone game. And obviously Tennessee, and Alabama knows this well, they'll go over your head, you know, and they will hit those shots. And can Tennessee not let Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard do that to them?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the strength of Alabama is Simpson throwing to those two guys. And obviously, like, Jam Miller's been really good. But, you know, Alabama's defense, they have a lot of good players, but who on Alabama's defense scares you or, like, really stands out as a great player?
It's not a classic Alabama defense.
Yeah.
It's a good one, but it's not, you know, you're not shaking in your boots out there.
Yeah. So, the Tennessee's been close. That's crazy, you know, that it's been that long. Gosh, they almost won that game when Butch was it 2015? And they lost, like, was like 10-7 or something.
I mean, they've had the 2015 game where Derrick Henry broke it open late. It was 19-14 was the final.
19-14, yeah.
They had the one with Kiffin in 2009 where Terrence Cody blocked a field goal to win the game 12-10. I mean, they've had some close ones.
Well, you had
the
Pruitt-Garantano game.
Yeah.
Not too long ago that they absolutely had a chance to win.
Right.
And look, Joe Milton, that was the last time they were there.
Yep.
That was the classic. They faded bad. You know, they just sort of crumbled in the second half. They were in control that game. Joe Milton.
They were up 20-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
In that game.
And then
they lost 34-20 and scored in the second half.
Yeah. And that was one of those, you know, hype on the road thing, you know, because they do. They have some bad performances or bad half stretches in the road. You know, anything like that, and they're not going to win. But I give them, like, if you want to do it, take away the point spread. I mean, I'm like 60-40 Bama in this game or even 58-42. Like, it's –
we're going to find out a lot about Alabama, I think, specifically in this game, because it kind of feels like they figured it out, right? Like, it feels like you had the week one game against Florida State where everything was a disaster and everybody was talking, they were trying to run Kalen DeBoer out of town. And it feels like things have not only stabilized since then, but they are turning into a national championship contender. Like, that's what they look like. So is that really what they are? Like, have they actually figured it out, or are they about to have a performance at home where their fan base immediately gets right back at Kalen DeBoer? Like, are we about to start this process all over again? Like, I don't know. That's what's going to be interesting to see here. I think Tennessee is going to be able to move the ball on Alabama. They're going to be able to score some points. I do not at all like the matchup for Tennessee's defense against Alabama's offense. I think they're going to have a really tough time in this game.
Just don't let them run. Don't let them run at will, you know? Don't let them have a 200-yard run. Don't let them have 150-plus rushing day. And at least put them in some obvious passing situations. I Tennessee,
I've been kind of disappointed.
Tennessee's personnel is too good for this to be going on.
I've been disappointed about Tennessee's lack of in-game adjustments on defense, in particular this season. The Georgia game, it felt like they just kept throwing those bubble screens to the wide receivers. And every
they
time
they had the young corners, and they were getting
and they were just
beat
outnumbered
up, yeah.
Every time, and they just had the numbers out there. He, you know, looked what were the numbers? Chuck it out there, and then in the run game versus Arkansas, they just kept. Or I think it was Arkansas, maybe it was Mississippi State, where they just
both
kept,
of them ran.
Where maybe it was Mississippi State, where they just kept giving the ball on a draw play to that.
That's Mississippi State. They couldn't stop it.
And he just kept, to that running back, he just kept breaking it outside every time on a draw play. And they couldn't have stopped that, too. There's just been a couple of things where the opposing offense just hammers the same thing over and over, and the Vols haven't been able to stop it.
Well, they need – this is a game where they got to have – Boo Carter's been bad on defense. And I know there's all that stuff going on with him in the offseason.
Been good on Facebook.
He's probably not going to be there after this year. They need Boo Carter to play like Boo Carter's capable of playing in this game. Because if he doesn't, then like you've got – look, Ty Redmond's done a fine job for a freshman out there, but they're going to pick on him in this game.
Sure.
Like they're going to find a way to get Ryan Williams on Ty Redmond. Like they're that's what they're going to do in this game. So they're gonna, that's going to be a problem for Tennessee. You can't have Redmond as a true freshman out there probably taking some lumps in this game and Boo Carter not being able to cover anybody. Like you feel good about Colton Hood, but – if Boo Carter didn't play well in this game, your defense didn't have a chance.
And, you know, Boo Carter's the type of guy who can make a game-changing play. How about something like that? Drew, who's a Bama fan on the text lines, points out, well, you know, they have other receivers besides those two. Yes, you know, Brooks and Horton. But don't forget Alabama's biggest threat. This is a very good point. Caden Proctor, man.
It's true.
Caden Proctor.
He'll get the ball at some point in this game.
He will. It's pretty amazing. Like, I actually would try to give him the ball, like, a handful of times in a game.
Just start punching it out if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, you'd think that, right? That's what you do.
He's not – I mean, I can't imagine the ball security is the greatest with him, but I think everybody's too scared to try to punch it out because if you miss, you're going to get steamrolled.
Exactly, yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Tennessee at Alabama this weekend. What sort of a chance do you give the Vols to win? More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football games. Monday Night matchups are the Bucks and the Lions and the Texans and the Seahawks. So make sure you're aware of that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025.
Too many. How many doubleheaders are you going to have?
Too many.
I think it was four this year.
Is it so? Is this the most?
It's got to be.
I don't know.
Close.
That I don't know.
I mean, I don't like it.
I don't know why we have to have Monday night doubleheaders. Just put one game on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. I agree. But they don't listen to us.
They don't. They do not. Tennessee taking on Alabama this weekend. Alabama, an 8.5-point favorite. It is amazing. I saw some people pointing this out yesterday. You know, for all the talk in the offseason about Nico Iamaleava leaving and going to UCLA and Joey Aguilar coming in and the uncertainty at quarterback, the uncertainty at wide receiver, all these things. Yet that it basically what amounts to the halfway point of the college football season, Tennessee has the number one scoring offense in college football. Like I feel like that's probably not being discussed enough.
Yeah, probably not.
That's pretty amazing.
Because, again, it's not only was it like, oh, boy, are Vols fans going to – you know, turn on Heupel when they're terrible and they're scoring 19 points a game. But also, like, the last 2 years looked so much worse than this.
Yeah.
This is the I'm not going to compare what this is to what it was in 2022 because that's one of the best offenses I've ever seen in college football. I mean, truly, until that day in Athens, Georgia, when they just punched him in the face. I mean, that was an incredible offense. This is not that. But it's pretty freaking good. I mean, and I think the offense, again, I mean, I know we have, we got Brandon in the YouTube chat today chiming in with some funny stuff. But I mean, really, in all seriousness, Brandon who said on Vrabel, a little chawing some heart darts, never hurt anybody. Brandon, the biggest hater of Glenn Ellerby that we know, you have to give some credit, right? Do you not have to give some credit on the offensive line play?
They look good. Now, I think his argument will be they need to run the ball a little bit better. But, yeah, like they look pretty good. out there. I mean, look, Tennessee, quote unquote, can't run the ball this year, and I think they're like 22nd in the country.
Yeah. Right. They're just not having ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, the last couple years, and especially you know, like last year with Samson, I mean, they overly had to lean on that. It was great to have that,
right.
But the scheme, you know, the scheme lends itself to that too. Yeah, like they're still pretty balanced. They're not putting up absurd numbers on the ground, but they're pretty balanced.
Well, and again, like I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you'll probably take that trade-off, right? Of like maybe you're not running for 275 yards a game, but if you're throwing the ball and throwing it to the level that they're throwing it this year, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like you'll
are you scoring
that.
Touchdowns?
Okay. I mean they're scoring 48.2 points per game. That's where they're at. Now, I know some of that involves, you know, non-power four competition. But
some of it does.
Some of it does. I mean, they've gotten into the 40s with the exception of last week every game, haven't they?
I think so. And this is another – it's a reminder, too, because the last couple of years at various points, and I think it way too often, and I think for the most part we would argue against this, but the whole, people have figured out this offense.
Yep.
If you execute it and you have personnel who can execute it, this offense is going to work. Now, will this offense win a national championship? Okay, we'll see. But the idea that it couldn't, because it hasn't yet, that it couldn't, I reject that.
Well, this is kind of the next step, though, for Heupel, right? Like, he's done a lot of things around here that have not been done in a long time. You know, college football playoff berth for the first time ever, like – there's a lot of things. Heupel's a good coach. There's a lot of things that Heupel has pulled off in his tenure that have been incredible at Tennessee. They have not gone on the road and beaten Florida. They have not gone on the road beaten Alabama. I mean, they haven't beat Georgia at all under Heupel. But that's kind of like that next thing, right? Is like, you know, we'll get to Florida later, and I know Florida's their own mess right now. But like at some point, you're going to have to beat your Floridas and your Alabamas on the road. So can you do that if you're Heupel?
There's just such a huge difference between those two things right now.
There are.
It's embarrassing to not beat Florida on the road. I mean, yeah, like this year, you have to go do that. Beating Alabama on the road, that's a big deal.
Yes.
And, again, 2 years ago, with that kind of miserable offense, at least by Tennessee standards, they were in position to do so, and they completely folded. Adam in Portland, boy, you're hot taking this week. He says it's no longer an upset. They should beat the hell out of Alabama.
Well, they are an 8.5-point underdog.
Yeah. So that actually would be quite an upset, Adam.
They are an 8.5-point underdog.
Yeah, it's obviously not what it used to be, right, where you'd be happy to hang in a game like this. Yeah, Tennessee should be confident and expect to go win the game.
Yeah, like if Tennessee gets blown off the field on Saturday, that would be a huge disappointment. Like that should not happen at this point. So, and I don't think it will. Like, you know, maybe a late touchdown makes it a double-digit game at the end of it, but I don't think you're going to be walking into the fourth quarter and it's just like, well, this is over. Get, you know, Merklinger in there. Save Aguilar for next week. Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
That'd be massively disappointing.
Yes.
And no, I don't expect that at all. You know, I'm trying to think, like, Joey Aguilar, I mean, you could say, like, well, has he really – you know, performed in a hostile environment. But, yeah, actually, I mean, Mississippi State was a great environment.
Yeah.
They may not be a great team, but that was an example of going on the road, and he's fine. It's really
he's played at Clemson before. Like, he's, you know, he's not like he's never walked into something like
sure.
this.
Sure. No, I mean, look, when it comes down to it, it's still – he remains such a surprise. And, again, just based on, like, last year, you're like, you know, how good could this guy be? But he's very good. Josh points out with Caden Proctor, you mean the Titans' future left tackle with the first overall pick in April? Well, maybe.
Mm.
Maybe.
Maybe so. If you get him
that'd be exciting.
Too, that'd be nice.
I know. If you can have him as a tackle / H-back.
Yeah, be pretty sweet. We will be joined by Predators assistant coach Darby Hendrickson coming up next. They're taking on the Canadiens tonight. You got the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 the game. If you're heading to Nissan Stadium for the Titans game on Sunday, stop by John Bon Jovi's before and pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops as well. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
I've had some good times in there. Some awesome pictures of the of Bon Jovi, too, like the band, the whole band.
Oh, yeah.
John and Richie.
Have you seen?
And I don't know anybody else's.
Have you seen John in there?
I have not.
Okay.
Is he hanging out there a lot?
I've heard that happens from time to time.
Okay.
He's just kind of in there.
Okay. Good to know.
Probably not very often, but I've heard that from time to time that is the case.
That'd be cool.
It would be. Would be. We are scheduled to be joined by Darby Hendrickson here in a few minutes. Predators taking on the Montreal Canadiens tonight. Do you sense a groundswell of belief from Tennessee fans that they're walking into Tuscaloosa on Saturday and getting it done against the Tide? Or is there fear in your mind? I think the defense has scared a lot of Tennessee fans.
Yeah, people are mad. You know, mad about the defense, worried about the defense, mad at Tim Banks. Brandon, I guess he switched targets. He said Tim Banks' defenses have always been poor in zone. They're especially awful this year. The linebackers stink. I do think that, by the way, I think linebacker play.
I think Carter's really good. I think T-Lander.
A little bit of a weak link there. Brandon says they won't rush for 100 yards Saturday. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I think you're a good temperature taker of the Vols fan base, and I feel like cautious optimism. Is cautious optimism overstating it a little bit too much?
I would be very surprised and disappointed if Tennessee's offense doesn't play well in this game. Like, they're not scoring 48. I think that's clear. But, like, I think Tennessee's offense will give you a chance to win. The defense, I do not have a good feeling. I don't think the defense is going to perform very well.
Okay, so what does that add up to?
Probably adds up to about a 10-point loss.
Is what
it probably adds up to.
Well, you're kind of a pessimist.
Well, so. I am. And, frankly, my record of picking games this year has been atrocious. So,
I mean, we're all pretty bad. To be fair, we're all pretty bad. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'd put it out there, like, Maybe we should have Big Orange Mac on. By the way, I gotta give a shout out to Big Orange Mac because I don't know why this made me laugh so much. First of all, as I did this on the show, I officiated my cousin's wedding, and then I said on the show, "Yeah, so I married my cousin last summer." And you're like,
"Yeah, great call."
What? I'm like, "I married my cousin last summer." You're like, "Say
it
again."
Don't ruin my rant.
What's that?
Nothing.
You might be.
Is this your rant?
No, but you might be hearing that audio coming up here in just a few minutes.
Oh, good God. Well, anyway, Big Orange. So there's some Alabama preacher who, he officiated his cousin's wedding, right?
Yes.
He's a reverend who, but he tweeted, "I married my cousin last weekend." So Big Orange, am I ruining this?
No.
Okay, so Big Orange Mac just quote tweets it and just says, "Row Tide!" But it's like R-O-W-T-Y-D-E. Why did that make me laugh so hard? I laughed so much last night. "Row Tide!" With no L's. When you say "Roll Tide" with no L's, it's just hilarious. "Row Tide! Row Tide!" God, that's great.
Well, on that note, let's welcome in Predators assistant coach Darby Hendrickson to the program.
Let's see what he thinks about Row Tide.
The Predators taking on Montreal tonight. Darby, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be
with us. Can you recap that story you just said? Because I got part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's apparently, you know, people don't really, you know, when you're officiating a wedding, you have to make it very clear that you are the officiant in the wedding. You're not actually marrying somebody, especially when the person whose wedding you're doing is your cousin. You don't want that, Darby.
So, Darby,
I get it.
Yeah, like I officiated my cousin's wedding a couple summers ago, and I said on the show, "I married my cousin last summer." It's like, you know what I mean, right? But yeah, so
yeah,
just
right,
had to, you got to
right,
clarify, well, you know.
Not good.
I'm going to let you guys talk about it after.
That's right. Yeah, that's probably your
good
thoughts.
That's probably a good call on that front. So, Darby. A much better start this year than last year, obviously, and I know you guys are sick and tired of talking about last year, so a good start so far this year. What have you liked about what you've seen from your group to this point?
It's our energy, our team. You know, obviously no one's happy. The past is the past, but just a focus and an energy, and by no means are we perfect, but there's just a different feeling we have here. And I think if you look back last year, there was an expectation of, we have to do this. We got to be this. And I think there's a lot of things you learn from a year and you get better and there's a hunger. That's what I would kind of break it down. And there's a different hunger that we have. And we got a challenge tonight to bring that hunger into it.
So like you said, you know, the past is the past, but how much do you think that is maybe playing into or even played into the off season for everybody, you know, individually and collectively, Darby? Like how much is last year, you know, feeding the hunger, I guess?
Well, there's a part of that for sure, but I'd switch it into pride because, you know, when you don't have a year that goes your way, everyone has pride, and there's a lot of guys that played a long time, and then you have young guys who are trying to make it, and so you're trying to combine the two. And I just you got good people that you work with every day. You got an opportunity to, I use the phrase, stay in the pack. You know, you don't have to win the league in the first week or the first month, but you want to stay in the pack with all the teams to accomplish your goals, which is make the playoffs, and obviously go from there. But it's a long year. There's 82 games. You know, we're at game five, so it's just we're building, but the feeling is good and the energy is good, and I think that's what's important right now.
So Darby, how much of kind of a driving force has that Hala, Marchessault, Bunting line been for you guys to this point, and just not only the production that we've seen, but the way that they play the game?
Yeah, good question. They're chipping in. I think in camp we would look. You're always looking at different combos, and there's different games. Even in Toronto the other night, who can we put with who? How does that fit? How does it work? But those guys, there was something early, you know, where there was a fit. And you got veteran players, and you got guys who think the same way. And it just, you know, that was something we tried early in camp. And I think camp goes so quick. You're like, we want to try this. We want to do that. But they've gelled, and they've been good. And they're a solid line that we need every night. And they've contributed offensively. You know, you look at Marchessault the other night in Ottawa, had a couple goals. Paula scored last game, but there's something there that you feel, and you know, I just say on the bench from that perspective, they communicate, they talk, they're working together, and they're trying to find that fit with everyone.
How's Brady Martin hanging in there, not just, you know, on the ice, but even just this first experience of being in the NHL?
He's been great. It's amazing. You know, I think everyone looks back at their career, and especially when you're 18, it's hard to imagine. I have kids that are older than that. But just a great kid, incredibly bright future. He's played two games with us to start the year. He'll get back in. We have this opportunity with our team to work with him, get to know him. And the same token, probably the biggest thing for him is being around guys like Ryan O'Reilly, who he can learn from, and he can watch a guy who's a pro, how he goes about every day. But just a wonderful kid and bright future, and it's fun to be around because you want to share the game with him as a coach. But for him, the biggest thing is being around players that I mentioned, like Ryan, Forsberg, Roman, all these guys that he can learn from and take to his next step. And he's going to be a great player in the future.
Darby, last thing for you here. You mentioned Roman, obviously, you know, a tough end to his season last year. He gets the diagnosis in the offseason. How nice has it been not only to have him back out there, but for him to be playing the way that he is so far this year?
Yeah, that was a big part of our, you know, last year. You know, there's a lot of, we were talking about lines earlier and Trent Fitz, but when your captain's out, it's a huge loss. But to see him healthy, to see him skating, to see Roman Yossi, the guy that he is, dynamic, and just an unbelievable person that you're around every day. We love that he's back. He's a big part of what our success that will happen here.
Well, Darby, really appreciate your time this morning. Good luck tonight in the game in Montreal, and we appreciate so much you being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, have a great day. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Darby Hendrickson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, Predators assistant coach. Predators at 2-1-1 to begin the season. And they are taking on the Montreal Canadiens tonight on the road, who are off to a good start as well. 3-1 for Montreal so far this year. So tough test for the Predators tonight. I would imagine UC Saros back in there after Eustace Onnen in there the other night.
Yeah, it probably seems like it might be a little bit better.
I would think so.
To have Saros in there.
I would think so. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Rob Rant coming up next. We got Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 8 o'clock. We got a lot of things on the Titans front to get into with him. So looking forward to all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Don't Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm tired of you guys asking me this. Like, this is ridiculous.
Which one of you has gout?
To be honest with you, don't know and don't care.
Vrabel, smash away. Built to pound.
You can't stay away from shellfish, meat, and meat.
Family ties. Those matter. Blood's thicker in the water. I married my cousin last year.
Rotide! Rotide!
This is recruiting propaganda, you know, from... You must be from Tennessee.
You know, Vrabel, I used to enjoy the delicious taste of a Camel Light.
I'm the dumbest person in here. I promise you.
It is that time of the day here on the program. Time for the Rob Rant. Brought to you by Functional Medicine in Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineintennessee.net.
Nothing like a little nicotine and incest to get us going on a Thursday morning, huh?
Yep. God. I just want to point out that all those sound bites were from you. I didn't say anything about any of that stuff. Did not
and
touch
Vrabel.
That stuff. And Vrabel.
You got that whole Vrabel greatest hits getting ready for us there, Alex?
Yep.
Big file. I just called him Alex.
Yeah, good stuff.
I'm sorry.
Hey,
Alex. I'm sorry.
How we doing in there?
I'm sorry. Alex Doherty is screaming at me. We'll get to that at some point.
Yeah, we will. Charles Robinson coming up here in just a few minutes. My message today here is to Amy Adams Strunk. And, I'm not going to focus in on the not showing up and doing press conferences thing because I've given up on that, and that's a lost cause at this point. And frankly, I just don't even really care about it anymore because it's not going to change. But, you know, I hope Amy Adams Strunk has learned something through all this, because if she hasn't, then this is not going to get any better anytime soon. You know, let's trace this all the way back, Joe. This is how this all began. And look, you know, this is a complicated thing, but you'll really never be able to convince me otherwise of these two things. It's not a coincidence to me that what started all of this avalanche of firings that we've seen over the last 4 years was that the Titans went up to Philadelphia and got embarrassed by A.J. Brown, and the fans were turning around and flipping off Amy Adams Strunk in the box, and 2 days later she fired the general manager while they're in first place sitting there in the AFC South. She got embarrassed, and she fired the general manager. At the end of Rabel's tenure here, and there's blame on this to go with Vrabel, there's blame on this to go with her, and we talked about the stupid New England thing that he went up there and gave his little speech, and it's not like this everywhere. And apparently that really made her mad. Yet she never talked to Vrabel about it. Vrabel never talked to her about it. It was just like the unaddressed elephant in the room the whole time. And she let it fester. She got mad about it. And she fired him at the end of the year. So she got mad a couple times, fired two people. And now we have just been launched into a repetitive cycle of hiring and firing, trying to get back to a spot where they're a respectable franchise. And this is the problem when you're an owner that doesn't really want to be involved, and then immediately you involve yourself, and then checks out and doesn't want to be involved, and then immediately you involve yourself. And until that pattern changes, this thing ain't getting any better. And believe me, you're not going to find a bigger hater of Brian Callahan, the football coach. I'm sure he's a great guy. The football coach than I was. The guy could not coach. And it said after about week two this year, it's time to move on and fire the guy because he can't coach. And that was a problem. It was a symptom of what's wrong with this franchise. But we've known the whole time. The biggest problem is her. And I hope that throughout this process, as they've tried to outsmart everybody and do their own thing the last 5 years, and she gets mad and rolls off and fires people, and it's been an unstable mess, I hope that she's sitting back now as she's just getting absolutely crushed, deservedly so, this week. Not just here, around the league. She is getting destroyed around the National Football League this week. I hope that there's some reflection going on that leads to change in the future. Because if it doesn't, we're going to be sitting here talking about the Titans being the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns for the next 5-10 years. And frankly, I've had enough of it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to see it anymore. So the only way that's going to change is if she changes. So I hope this whole thing has been a nice educational experience for her. Because if not, we're absolutely screwed as a football market.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it because like you said, so, you know, silver in the Athletic, sort of, you know, comes into a Cam Ward story and turns into more about this. But Jonathan Jones, CBS, Albert Breer, SI, pretty extensive stories kind of detailing the dysfunction. And I think the theme that's through all of it is, like you said, it's basically absentee ownership.
Until she's not.
Yeah. So, which is the point being made several times, which is like, maybe if you were around, then you would have a better sense for things. She's leaning on people to tell her what's going on.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying, I mean, look, are there other owners who aren't like day to day, like in the hallway? Hey, Bob. Hey, Chuck. How you doing? You all right? Yeah. Yeah. Come on in the office. Come see me. No, but.
She doesn't have to watch film.
But being around does matter. It does, over time, absolutely matter. And I'm totally with everything you said there. I guess my question is, how does it change? Why does it change? You know.
Well, is there not some embarrassment at some point?
Oh, I think there has been. And I think that's part of why she's like, you know what? I'm not even going to write the press releases anymore. I don't want my name on the press release. But to me, it's like, if that's the case, like, is there a thing where she's like, wants to just continue in this role until like it gets better? Because it's just not the way she's run things is making it damn near impossible. Is it possible that the walking away becomes also, you know what, I'm not the person in the family anymore that's going to be dealing with this again? Kenneth, how about you jump in?
Yeah.
Would that make it, I mean, to me that might be the best answer, is
maybe.
Just because I, and again, you know, might get lucky. I mean, Borgon, maybe what Paul says happens and Borgonzi's good and they keep making, you know, drafting good players, they make a good coach hire, and you overcome bad ownership. Bad ownership is overcome.
Yes.
But it's when it's this severe, it's way harder.
It makes
to overcome.
It way harder. That's the thing. And again, like, yeah, she, even in the most recent example, right? Like, clearly she is taking like further and further steps away, right? Like you said, I mean, she's not even on the press release stuff anymore. Like, she is out of sight, out of mind. She's not even talking like when Mike Keith gets inducted in the Ring of Honor. She doesn't say, hey, good job, Mike. Way to go. Like, nothing. And then she'll haul off and fire the coach, right? Like, do we not think that's what happened? This last week is she fired the coach because it sure seemed like they're in a little bit of scramble mode after that. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, if you're going to be an absentee owner, then be one. Don't come flying in randomly and then leave again.
Right. If you're going to let them do it, okay.
Then let them do it.
Yeah. Then let them do it. And you cannot for 1 second convince me that she let them do that this week.
No.
That they decided, yeah, this is the week.
Hell absolutely. No. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this is trolling, but what can the Titans do right now to make you guys happy? Great question.
Well, that's a, I mean,
yeah,
start
anything,
by not being a flaming tire fire out there. That'd be good.
Anything different than all of the terrible things going on?
I mean, I would probably flip
sorry
that.
For complaining. I know. It's, yeah.
What are the Titans doing to make you happy right now? I guess it's probably
yeah,
the question.
Yeah, please list the things that you're enjoying right now about the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. I mean, again, I hope this whole thing, like, we've talked about it all the time. You can't fire the owner. And I know that there are some people that hope that she's just going to turn things over to somebody at some point. But maybe she doesn't. Like that, you know, it doesn't seem like she's had any interest in doing that to this point. So if that's the case, if she's going to be the one that's in charge here, then something's got to change. Like, you got to change yourself a little bit. If you, and look, I have always believed this, and I believe it now. I do think she wants to win. I think she cares.
Sure.
Okay. But you got to change your process right now if you think that that's going to – you need to be an asset for your organization, not a total detriment the way that you've been the last few years.
Right, and the thing is, and I understand it, Titans fans now, who's the next – okay, like Titans fans are doing what we're saying she's got to stop doing, which is, okay, who's the next target? Brinker, right? And I'm not saying – Chad Brinker should be completely safe no matter what, and I don't care. But I'm just saying, like, the people are of the mindset that she has been in, which is, again, okay, who's next then? Who, rather than here's an entirely new group of people, you're all on the same footing, go.
Yeah.
It's who's the next scapegoat? Who's the next scapegoat? Who's the next scapegoat? And I just fear that we're just headed toward that again. Okay, someone's got to pay at some point next year. They win 4 games, and Cam Ward's not very good. So who's going to pay?
Right. Exactly. And it feels like you're just in a cycle at the moment that's very difficult to get out of. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll discuss some of that cycle. We will discuss this week that has been for the Tennessee Titans and the weekend that's coming up with Mike McCoy going up against Mike Vrabel. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.